Blog Talk Radio.
This keeps me going on those days when I feel like giving up. Fire.
Abundantly above all we could ask or think,
Oh, I thank him for this today. I thank him for believing in a Father that'll never let you down. I thank you for believing in a Son that'll always be there for you. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about Jesus on the cross, when I think about how he died, when I think about how he was whipped with so many stripes, hallelujah, how he bled, hey, glory to God. And he didn't say a mumbling word, but he did say, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it was the Father's will that the cup passed from him. Hey, glory to God. I thank God. You know, many times we don't want to accept the assignment that God has given us. Sometimes we don't even want to follow the instructions, hallelujah, that we know has been given to us. It's already outlined. It's already laid out. The blueprint is already here, and that is the Word of God, the Bible. That's our blueprint. That's our manual. That's our roadmap. That's our guide to eternal life. So I thank God for that song by James Fortune. Say, I believe, hallelujah, the storm is only going to last for a little while. But after it's over, hey, glory to God, if you're still able to maintain, if you're still able to go through without murmuring, without complaining, hallelujah. Sometimes it's not murmuring and complaining when you say, well, I'm not feeling the greatest, or this is going on and that's going on. You know, that's life. Life's going to present those, life is going to present those difficulties. Hallelujah. God didn't promise us that every day would be the sun would be shining. He didn't promise us every day that everything was going to be pleasant and palatable to us. Hallelujah. But he did promise us that he would bring us through. Hallelujah. He said, take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Take them upon you. Learn of me. Learn what I would have you to do. Hallelujah. We thank God for you tuning in to a time of reflection. Truly, this is a broadcast that we love, and we certainly believe that God has destined us for this time and for this particular purpose and for this assignment, and we don't take it lightly. Hallelujah. We take it as a charge, as a mission, as an assignment that God wants us to see go forth every day in our lives. Amen. We thank you for tuning in once again. We certainly appreciate all your prayers. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your love. We appreciate your fellowship. Hallelujah. We thank Sister Ruby for standing in our stead on yesterday. I was feeling terrible. I'm not feeling the greatest today, but I'm pressing my way. Hallelujah. I'm pressing my way, and I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. And I know that all my help, it comes from the Lord. So we greet you once again in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus, and we thank you for tuning in today. Amen. Again, we thank all of our listeners that's listening live on the internet, those of you that may be in the chat room, and all of our callers that call in. Certainly, we appreciate you. I know at this time of the day, you can be doing some of any and everything that's, you know, pertaining to life, pertaining to your livelihood. But we thank you for taking the time out to come on and fellowship with us on this broadcast with New Destiny Ministries. And this is a time of reflection. Amen. And I heard Sister Ruby talked about knowing the will of God for your life on yesterday. And so today, you know, this is the week of Father's Day. Father's Day is on Sunday, June the 16th. And we'd like to say happy Father's Day to all you fathers that are out there on today, and those of you that are raising families, and some of you all may be single-handedly raising children. So we'd like to salute you today and say Happy Father's Day in advance to you all on today. Amen. But we're going to get right on into our message for today, and I believe the Lord laid this on my heart even on yesterday as I was feeling a little bad on yesterday, and even this morning I began to think about it, just thinking about Father's Day approaching. Amen. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, this afternoon. Once again, Lord God, we just want to tell you thank you. Once again, Lord, we want to thank you for waking us up, clothing our right mind. We thank you for all the activities of our limbs. Lord God, we thank you for even touching our bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for our children. We thank you for the blood being applied to our lives. We thank you for food, clothing, and shelter. We just thanking you for all, God, with all things, Lord God. We thanking you for your mercies are renewed each and every morning. And we thank God that you saw fit to renew your mercies upon each one of us today. And we just like to let you know that we love you and we appreciate you, God, for you are God that's always on time. You're a God that could never fail. You're a God that can't lie. You're a God that don't deceive. You're a God that will fulfill all of your promises that you made unto us. And for that, we say thank you on today. Amen, amen, amen. I wasn't able to make it over today, but as I'm able to just come together for a quiet moment and reflect upon God's goodness, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we couldn't thank you enough. If we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't even praise you enough for all the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. Lord God, for all the many obstacles that you removed out of our path, for all of the different situations and circumstances that we've had to encounter on a daily basis. Lord God, you always allow us to come out on top. You told us when the enemy comes in like a flood that you would raise up a standard against them, and we believe that, Lord God, and we have seen you work. We have seen you rebuke the devourer for our sake. Ah, glory to God. We've seen you make ways out of no ways, God. Hallelujah. We've seen you open up doors. Hallelujah. When doors have been shut in our face and we thought everything was done with, Lord God, but you always open up a new door for us. You always made a highway in the wilderness, Lord God, when we couldn't see our way out, God. You always provided a way for us to escape. Hallelujah. You always provided a word for us to speak when we didn't have anything, God. Hallelujah. You told us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You said in all your ways, all our ways, to acknowledge you and you will direct our paths. Lord God, you've been a good God. You've been merciful. You've been kind, God. There's none like you, Lord God. There's none like you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Even when we were in our mess, God, you had mercy upon us, God. Hallelujah. You held back the hand of death. Oh, God, and for that we say thank you. For that we say thank you this morning. Oh, yeah, thank you this afternoon. Thank you this evening. Some of us are in different areas of the nation, God, but we say thank you. Hallelujah. We're praying for those families that lost family members down in Santa Monica on last week. How the gunman went on the campus and just began to shoot, God. Hallelujah. It could have been one of us. It could have been one of our children. It could have been one of our parents, Lord God. But we thank you for your blood that covers every day. Oh, God, we don't take you for granted on today. Hallelujah. We thank you, hallelujah, for being in the land of the living. We thank you for having the opportunity to lift up our voices and to give you praise. God, we thank you, hallelujah. We thank you for even the weapons that have been formed against us, God. You said it won't prosper. We see weapons. We see them laying on their beds of affliction. We see them laying now plotting. Hallelujah for all the might. But we come against every wicked thought. We come against every wicked deed. We come against everything, God. Hallelujah, that would exalt itself above you. We come against the wiles of the enemy this morning, this afternoon, God. Hallelujah, we see the enemy. Hallelujah, let us, Lord God, alert us. Hallelujah, keep us aware of all things that's not like you, God. Give us a mind to surround ourselves with people that love you, with people that praise you, with people that are willing to make sacrifices in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God, we're asking you to let your will be done in our lives. Not our will, Lord, but your will. We want to be in your perfect will. We want to be in your divine will, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, God. I continue to pray for those families that have been lost. Hallelujah, that lost family members, hallelujah, help today, God. Help today, comfort them, Lord God. Even though those that was in the storm still in Oklahoma City trying to recover, God, remember them, God. Remember our president today, God. Remember this nation as a whole, God. Oh, God, bless us as we go into our jobs and different places of employment, Lord God, in all these different establishments, these restaurants and the college campuses, and as our children go to and fro school, God, our grandchildren are traveling all around the busy streets, Lord God, we're asking you to shield and protect them. In the name of Jesus, we bless you and we give you praise today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And as I was talking earlier, hallelujah, the Lord put on my heart, you know, this is Father's Day week, and he took me to the prodigal son. And we all know that story, but we just want to elaborate on it a little bit today, hallelujah, and let you know that you can return, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we want to just invite your attention for a little space of time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All is not lost, people of God. Hallelujah, we serve a God. That's always attentive to our prayers, always attentive to our cries. He always hears. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we want to talk a little bit about this parable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, but we're going to start off, and I feel that for us to get the full lesson of what God is saying to us on today, we're talking about the prodigal son, hallelujah, but we want to get a better understanding of what really happened here. We want to get a better understanding of how all of this occurred, and sometimes you have to go back when you're studying and you're reading this Bible and you're trying to give the people of God and give the, and present the word where we could have an understanding. Sometimes you got to go back and read the chapter before and even the chapter after. Hallelujah. But for the sake of time, we don't have that kind of time. But we want to just draw your attention to the book of Luke on today. Amen. And we're going to start, we want to start at the first verse. We have a little time. Hallelujah. And we want to start at this first verse in Luke chapter 15. Hallelujah. And this was Jesus, and he was talking. He was talking to his disciples. And, you know, Jesus taught many times in parables because the wisdom and the knowledge of God's Son, many times we get lost. So he just made point. He just made parables, and parables are just little short stories. And he tried to give us an understanding of what he was trying to say, what he was trying to convey to his people and to the disciples and those that followed him. So verse first, the first verse in chapter 15 said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners." Listen, for to hear him. So some of them came because they believed in Jesus, and some of the others was there because they didn't believe. Hallelujah. And it was trying to set him up. They were always trying to hear Jesus and wanted Jesus to say something out of character where they can get something on him. Amen, amen, because we all know that they wanted to kill him. Hallelujah. They didn't believe that one man could have such power, that one man could speak with such authority. Amen. But it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Lord God, I'm asking for strength right now. Strengthen me right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And verse 2 saying, "The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." You see what he said? You see what they're saying? You know, he's friendly with everybody. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing." This is what Jesus is saying. He said, now you know, if you are a shepherd and you have been given a pasture, hallelujah, and you lose one of your sheep, you're going to go, you're going to leave that 99, and you're going and look for that one that is lost. That's the kind of Father, that's the kind of God that we serve. We serve a God that have no respect to persons. Amen? He said, "And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing." So when he find that lost sheep, he's going to bring that sheep back into the fold. He laid on his shoulder, and he's going to bring him back, and he's going to care for that sheep. Because guess what? He's rejoicing in his spirit because I have found that one that was lost. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So he's just not excited for himself, but he wants everybody that's around him, everybody in his community, to be as excited as he is. So he go and he tell his friends and neighbors, you know how one of our children graduate from high school? Hallelujah. We're so proud and we're so joyful and we're so happy. We want the world to know they have graduated from school. I am so happy. I am so proud. You want everybody to know. I remember, you know, with the other three, my other two granddaughters and my niece that graduated, you know, I was able to get a nice little letter together and send out the pictures early. But this last girl, I wasn't able to do that. So I had to, hey, that time has passed. So after the time has passed, there's nothing you can do about it. So it says, verse 7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So what is Jesus saying? Hallelujah. He's saying, when one of my people, one of my children, one of my sons and my daughters, if they strayed away and then they came back, guess what? I'm going to receive them. I'm going to embrace them as though they were still yet with me. The 99 just persons, they don't need no repentance. But the one that have left the fold, that's the one that we have to show mercy upon. That's the one we have to show love and compassion to. Hallelujah. So verse 8 says, "Either what woman?" Now we're leaving that when he was talking about the lost sheep. This was three parables that Jesus taught. One was the parable of the lost sheep. Now he's going into the parable of the lost coin. And then we're going to go on into what Jesus said, what the Lord has given us to talk about that parable of the lost son, that prodigal son that we all have deemed him. Amen. So verse 8 says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Okay, she had 10 pieces of silver, but she lose one. So that one that she lost is just as important as the other 9 that's still in her collection. So she's going to sweep the house and look diligently, diligently for that one that she needs to find that is lost. And verse 9 saying, when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me. You see this? It's the same thing. The lost sheep. When the shepherd found him, he called his family and his friends together and his neighbors, and he said, I come, help me rejoice, because I found the sheep. Now this woman that had lost her coin, she's saying, come and rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost. And verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And this is what I think Jesus is trying to illustrate to us today, that nobody is lost. When you call on Jesus, the songwriter says he will answer prayers, but we have to get back into right standing. We have to get back into the right order. We have to align ourselves with the word of God. Amen. Now we're going to go on into our lesson today. The parable of the lost son. We're talking about the prodigal son. And when we begin to see that word prodigal, when I looked in the dictionary to define prodigal, it says wastefully or recklessly extravagant. Prodigal expenditure. And number 2, the second definition says giving or yielding profusely. Lavish. Prodigal of smiles, prodigal of with money. That means prodigal. That word means prodigal, mean that you're wasteful, you're reckless, you're extravagant. And that's something that God don't want us to be. He don't want us to live wastefully. He don't want us to live recklessly. He don't want us to live extravagantly. Hallelujah. Then it says lavishly abundant. And then verse 4, the next definition says, a person who spends or has spent his or her money or substance with wasteful extravagance. So that's the word prodigal. So that's how we deem this son, the prodigal son. Amen. Now, the Bible don't particularly say it's prodigal. It just says lost. Amen? So verse 11, let's read this story. Hallelujah. And I hope you are able to get something out this story. We're talking about a son that is wayward. We're talking about a son that no longer felt he needed his father. We're talking about a son that wanted to go out and do his thing. He didn't want to be accountable anymore. You know, it's just not normal for a son to receive their inheritance while their father is alive. That's just not normal. Okay, normally to receive your inheritance, your father or your mother has to be deceased. They have to have left this earth, and then they have left a legacy. They have left an inheritance for you. They have left a will. They have left something to deem you to be the one that will inherit their belongings, whatever that may be. So let's read this. And verse 11 says, and he said, this is Jesus still talking, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So this son is asking for his father to give him his share of his inheritance now. You know, many of us, we don't want to go through. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to carry our crosses, but we want the crowns. We want the rewards. We want the best of everything, but we're not willing to make no sacrifices. Hallelujah. So let's go on. He said, and verse 12 said, and he divided unto them his living. Okay? And verse 13 said, not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. The Bible said, listen at this, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So we're going to assume by this particular scripture right here that in a few days, we're just going to assume in a few days he had wasted everything that his father had given him. My, what a shame, what a shame. So verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. So when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he did not have anything because he spent it. He wasted it. He spent extravagantly. He spent recklessly. He was full of pride, full of wanting to have a good time. You know, you got some people in this world that are party people. You know, anytime you see a party's going on, they're there. Even in the body of Christ. When you say we're going picnicking, or we're going to Magic Mountain, or we're going to Disney World, you got a group of folks that's down. Oh, yeah, they're ready to go. When you say something to appease this flesh, we're ready to get into it. Oh, but call all night to prayer. Call 24-hour prayer. Call a shut-in in the church and see how many folks going to show up. Uh-huh. You got some folks in the church, they're party goers. Uh-huh. They'd rather appease this flesh than to come in and sit at the feet of Jesus, than to come in and hear a word of God, than to come in and afflict this flesh. Hallelujah. That's us. So let's go on. And verse 14 said, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. People of God, a famine is coming. We better get wise. We better get wise. We ain't going to always have our barns full. Our barns are not going to always be full. Hallelujah. So we have to think. We have to think and use some wisdom. We have to use some discretion about some of the things that we're partaking in. Some things God don't bring upon us. Some things we bring upon ourselves. Amen? This young man brought this upon himself because he wanted to go out and have a good time. He asked his father, give me my share now. He wanted his cake and he wanted to eat it too. Hallelujah. We all know you can't have it both. Yes, you can cut a little piece of cake when it's your birthday and have that cake and eat it too. But we're trying to make a difference in how we go about transacting and taking care of our business. We have to be good stewards. We have to dedicate ourselves. We have to commit our way to the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? And verse 15 says, and he went and join himself to a citizen of that country. Listen at that. He went to a land that wasn't even his. He went to a people that wasn't even a part of who he was. Uh-huh. He went to another country such a, enjoying himself as a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. So after he wasted everything that he had, he went out there with the pigs. He went out there with the pigs. Now, please know, that was an insult for an Israelite. Now, assume he was an Israelite. That was an insult for them to eat with pigs. Hallelujah. That was beyond them. You could not eat with no pigs, but he had wasted everything that he had. So he, and when the famine came in the land, he didn't have no other choice. But verse 17 said, and when he came to him, no, let's go back to 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man, listen to this, gave unto him. And that's what happened. We don't have no friends. We got a lot of friends when we have something. But when you ain't got nothing, when you have spent all of your money, when you have gave to this one and gave to that one, and then you become, there comes a time when you become a person that have a need, all of those friends, all of those folks that you parted with, all of those people that you gave lavish gifts to, they turned their back on you. They don't even know you. Hallelujah. And that's what happened with this young man. All the people that he sat with, the folks that he got together in the bars with and drank with and had his parties going on with all these different women, oh, and just spending large, hallelujah, living life like he a big shot. Oh, but when he got down to nothing, nobody was there. Oh, the moral of this story is, people of God, hallelujah, you can't invest in God and be in lack. You can't invest in God and he won't come to your rescue. Hallelujah. You can be down and out, but when you call on him in your time of need, in your time of trouble, God will bring you through. Hallelujah. But when he brings you through, he wants you to remember where you came from. He don't want you to forget how he pulled you out of a horrible pit. He don't want you to forget when you was in a whorehouse prostitute. He brought you out. He don't want you to forget when you was in a crack house smoking crack. He brought you out. He don't want you to forget when you was taking barbiturates. Hallelujah. And you could not sleep. Yeah, he brought you out. He healed you. Hallelujah. Cleaned you up and gave you a good name. Oh, God, oh, God. I'm going a little too fast right now. Let me slow down. Oh, but we got to recognize, hallelujah, that there's going to come a day when we're going to be in need, when we're going to be in want. Hallelujah. We're going to want somebody to pray for us, and we won't be able to find an intercessor. Oh, God, we better listen to God today. He's sending a word to you today. God is sending a word to you today. Oh, glory to God. Verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, we're talking about a prodigal son. We're talking about a lost son. We're talking about a son that dishonored his father. That's a dishonor when you ask your living father to give you your inheritance. Nah, he disrespected. He dishonored his father. Oh, glory to God. We can't dishonor God. We can't dishonor the God that'll bring us out. We can't dishonor the God that loves us. Even when we're in our mess, he'll clean us up. God is a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. Verse 17 said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many high servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Hallelujah. He said, I will arise and go to my father, And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy high servants. But let me tell you something, people of God. The Father was forgiving. The Father was loving. Hallelujah. But let's continue to read. He said, I know, verse 19 says, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy high servants. And he arose and came to his father. But this is what he was saying in his mind, that he was going to say to his father when he returned. So he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So let me tell you, people of God, the father was praying. The father was interceding. The father was fasting. The father was calling out to the Lord day and night. He was asking the Lord to spare his son. He was asking the Lord to let his blood cover him. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, I know my son. I know he have disrespected me. I know he have dishonored me, but he's still my son. How many have children out there that are rebellious? How many have children out there on drugs? How many have children out there that have said all kind of damnable things to you? Done all kind of damnable things to you. Hallelujah. I've called you everything but a child of God. Oh, but when they find themselves, hallelujah, when they find themselves in a mess and they can't get nobody to help them, all of their friends, their so-called friends, turn their back on them, they have to come back to you. Hallelujah. They have to come back and say, Mama, I'm sorry. They have to come back and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. And that's what happened with this prodigal son. Oh, but hallelujah. Verse 20 said, when he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father didn't wait for him. The father looked, hallelujah, and I can imagine he was a ways off. He could have been maybe a mile away, but the father knew his son. Hallelujah. God know his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. He know his children. He said, I know my children. Hallelujah. Jesus said about his apostles, you gave me 12, and I didn't lose none but the son of perdition. So when the father saw him a ways off, the father started rejoicing. The father got happy. Hallelujah. The father was happy. He already knew that the son wasn't coming home with nothing. He knew, he said, naked. Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. That's what Job said. So the son left out with his inheritance, but he came back empty-handed. He came back empty-handed because he was not able to contain himself. He was not able to take that money, that inheritance that the Lord, that the Father had given him and make it count for him. Hallelujah. He wasted it living extravagantly, trying to impress the Jones, trying to keep up with the Jones. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, the only one you need to worry about keeping up with is the horsemen. Hallelujah. You can't keep up with them. How you going to keep up with the horses? Hallelujah. You got to go back to the old landmark. You got to go back to fasting. You got to go back to praying. You got to go back to studying your word. The prodigal son. We're talking about the lost son. All Jesus wants us to do is come back to him. Hallelujah. All he wants us to do is lean and depend on him. Oh, but listen to it. Listen in verse 21. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But verse 30, 22 said, but the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So what did the father? The father didn't ask the son, what did you do? See, you don't have to go into no details. You don't have to explain to people what you've done. Take it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Take it to the pastor. Take it to the shepherd that is over you. You don't owe no explanation to your neighbors. You don't owe no explanations to your cousins. You don't owe no explanations to your sisters and your brothers. You don't owe them no explanations. Take it to Jesus. Take it to the shepherd that God has placed over you. Sometimes we so ashamed, and sometimes we feel so bad that we feel we have to explain our situations to people. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to do that. The son came back to his father, and he asked his father to forgive him. He didn't go to his brother, but you're going to hear later on in the story how the brother was mad. Hallelujah. And that's what happens when God begin to bless us, when God begin to exalt us, when God begin to clean up our lives, our sisters and our brothers get mad with us. They get angry with us, because that's what some people want to see out there with the pigs. Some people want to see you in the gutter. Hallelujah, but I'm here to tell you, if you are a saint of God, if you love the Lord, hallelujah, if you love your neighbors as yourself, you wouldn't want to see your brother or your sister doing bad. You would go to them and help them. You would go to them and cry with them. You would go to them and pray with them. You would go to them and study the word with them. God. But how many of us are doing that today? How many of us are doing that today? Hallelujah. We are always ready to get from under our father's and our mother's control. Hallelujah. We always want everything to go our way. We want to be in charge of everything. We don't want to have no rules and regulations. We want to have our complete freedom to do what we want. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, we're going to have to be held accountable. Hallelujah. Because we're going to have to stand before God for ourselves. Our mother's not going to be able to stand there. Our brothers and our sisters won't be able to stand there. We got to stand before God for ourselves. But I love this prodigal son, because guess what? He came to himself. And that's where we got to get people of God. We got to come to ourselves. We don't owe nobody no explanation. Hallelujah. You don't owe nobody but Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who you got to explain to? Yeah, I messed up. And I had a little talk with Jesus. I repented. I went to my pastor. And I said, Pastor, I have sinned. I have done dust and dust. And guess what? The pastor prayed for me, and he takes my sins before God. Hallelujah. When he takes them before God, God cleansed me. And he said, now you're cleansed. He said, go and sin no more. Don't do that no more. Don't get up in church and give no testimony, tell them all your business. That's not a testimony. Get up and tell folks, oh, I went to the crack house, and that ain't their business. You went to the crack house, you got high, you went and talked to your pastor, you repented of that sin. You don't need to explain that to nobody else. That's it. Hallelujah. You had a one-night stand. The devil got you in an uncompromising position. Hallelujah, and you yielded to your flesh. You don't owe nobody no explanation. Take it to your leader and have them to pray for you. And after they pray, you done repented of that thing. Don't go back in your mind and try to relive that thing. The prodigal son came back to his father's house. The Bible don't tell us if he ever went out and did anything else. It don't tell us that he went to all of the people in the city and told them what he did. No! Everybody already knew. They knew he had left home. Come on! Higher than those chapter. But, yeah, let's go on to verse 23. He said, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son, well, we read that. Let's go to verse 25. We're in chapter 15 for those that tuned in late. We're talking about the prodigal son. Higher than Bosiah. Verse 26 said, and he called one of the servants. And ask what? No, I'm sorry. Verse 25, we're at 25. Now his eldest son, now listen to this, people. The eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now this was the son that didn't leave. This was the son that was trying to do the honorable thing. Hallelujah. But guess what? Jealousy was in his heart. Jealousy was in his heart. Even staying home and not leaving and doing an honorable thing, he was jealous of his brother. And when he asked, he heard the music and the dancers, and he called one of the servants and asked, what does these things mean? And verse 27 said, and he said unto him, thy brother is come. Oh, he was upset then. Thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. Oh, you know jealousy. The Bible said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That son that stayed home with the father and did not go out and waste his inheritance, he was jealous. He was angry. He was mad. Verse 28 says, and he was angry, listen, and would not go in. Now, this is his brother. We don't know that the brother could have been gone for a whole year. The Bible said many days, but just imagine if he was gone for a whole year and you didn't see your biological brother for a whole year and you hear he has returned. Well, he had ulterior motives. He knew the brother had taken his inheritance, and he was gone. Just imagine he's gone for a whole year. So everything at the house, he was in charge now because the other brother wasn't there. So he had full reign. All of the servants was waiting on him. So he had everything. He had his father's attention, but what he didn't know was the father was in his secret closet every day, day and night, praying for his son to return. Hallelujah, let's finish this. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. What you mean? His father came out and called him. Said, look, your brother have returned. What you talking about? Why are you angry? Oh, Jesus, you better watch these jealous folks. That's why the Bible said, know them that labor among you. The father did not know that the son was jealous, but he found out then when he seen how angry he was that his brother had returned, and then he's going to talk about his brother. Didn't embrace him. Hallelujah. Didn't embrace him. I'm reminded, as I talk about this story, I'm reminded of Jacob and Esau. We all know that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob stole his birthright, if you want to know the truth about it. He stole it, and he said, but Jacob was a deceiver. Hallelujah. And one thing about Jacob, he was wise. He had wisdom. Okay? Because God had already designated for the older to serve the younger. It was already designated. When it was in their mother's womb, God knew what was going to go down. But I remember as Jacob was a strong estranged from Esau for so many years. He was estranged, and it came time for him to meet his brother. He had some trouble going on, and he had left his father-in-law, so he ventured out on his own now. So he wanted to go and reconcile with his brother. But Jacob was scared when he met Esau. He was scared, and he said, Lord, I don't know how my brother going to receive me. Hallelujah. So he put all of those that he weren't really that concerned about at the forefront, and those that he loved, he put them at the hinder part behind him. And when he met Esau, hallelujah, he bowed down, and he said, my Lord, my King, he called his brother his Lord, because he didn't know how his brother was going to receive it. But you know what Esau did? Esau fell on Jacob's neck, and he wept. He said he knew Jacob had did him wrong. He knew he had deceived him, but he said, this is my brother. And he was so happy to see him. And he saw how Jacob offered him all kinds of gifts. Hallelujah. That's because Esau was not jealous of Jacob. And that anger that he had in his heart when it first happened and he stole his birthright, he stole the blessing. Hallelujah. All those years had passed, and he was not angry. When he was able to see his brother and to see all of his nephews and all of his cousins and all of his nieces that Jacob had since they had separated from one another, he was happy. He wasn't angry. But this son that stayed at home, he was angry with the father from receiving the son back. And that's how some of us are. When we see backsliders and they come back in the church, we like, oh, they done went, did. Well, you right here in the church doing all kind of damnable things. Uh-huh. You in the church 7 days a week and you still ain't living right. You're still whoremongering. You're still lying. You're still robbing God. Uh-huh. I said that, sitting right in the church. But at least the backslider, we know they done went out and messed up. But when they return, we should have a love and a compassion for them. Don't shine them. You know, some people in the church, they shine the backsliders, and sometimes the backsliders never find their way back. And when they come back and nobody show them any love and compassion, they go right on back out there. Because what they say in their heart, they showing me more love and compassion when I was in the street. These people ain't got no love. These are the church people. These are the saints of God. These are the ones that God told us to have love and compassion for one another. Oh, that's an insult right there. That's an insult. But let's read. And he was angry. This brother that stayed at home, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, listen how he's talking to his father. That's how these children do. They think they could talk to you any kind of way and all is well. Oh, no, you're not gonna handle me like that. Uh-uh, no. If you ain't in my same age bracket, you gonna respect me. I'm gonna make you respect me. Uh-huh. That's right. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. You didn't kill a calf for me that I might make merry with my friends. In other words, he's saying, I've been here with you. I've served you. I've been the most honorable son. I have pressed among my friends and among this city. Everybody know I'm honorable. Everybody know I don't have no women on the side. Everybody know I haven't gone out and made you ashamed. But you never threw a party for me. This was my 21st birthday. You didn't kill a calf for me. You didn't throw no party for me. You didn't invite nobody over to come and celebrate me. That's what he was saying. But verse 30 says, But as soon as this, thy son, was come, he said, as soon as your son that went out and did every damnable thing, that went out there and ate with the swine, that squandered all of his money with a prostitute and drinking and partying, now you going to let him come back. Say he have devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And then the father said, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He said, you've been with me all these years. Everything in my house is yours. The servants, they bow at your feet. Anything you want, you get it, because you've been here with me. Everything that I have is yours, son. He said, it was me that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again, and was lost, and now he's found. People of God, ooh, Jesus, I could go on and on. People of God, we have to have a compassion and a love for those that are unlovable, those that go out and mess up. We don't have a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. We have to receive people back. We have to embrace them. We have to love them. We have to have a compassion for them. Just imagine every time we mess up. If God would kill us when we mess up, we would have been dead a long time ago. And please don't lie and tell nobody you ain't never sinned since you've been saved. That's a lie from the pit. And God will slap you down for telling that. For the Bible said we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We all have did things every day that wasn't pleasing to God. When you think something ugly and nasty about your sister and brother, that's a sin right there. Because remember, God said, I know your thoughts. For to even enter in your mind, I know your thoughts. Uh-huh. See, we can think bad about somebody, and we can think to do something. As long as we don't act upon that thought, then we are protected. But the minute you sit on your bed and you begin to think of all kind of evil things that you want to do to your sister and your brother, and then you start to implement that plan, you start to carry that out, God is going to get you. God is going to get you. Remember, we can't hide from God. God knows everything. He knows our name. He called us by name. God knew the prodigal son. God knew the lost son. God knew the son that stayed at home. And that's why he said, I'm going to try every man by their works. I'm going to try every man by what they're doing. What they're doing. We can't help when thoughts, unpleasant thoughts come to our mind. There's a, you know, when people do you wrong, it's natural to think unpleasantly about them. What you gonna think something good about folks that done you wrong? But the Bible says, think on those things that are pure. Think on those things that are lovely. Think on those things that are a good report. But if somebody walk up to you and just begin to curse you and call you all kind of names, man, that thing hurts. Especially if it's somebody in your family, a family member. Now, after they've done that, do you think that experience leave you? Do you think you're going to carry on with the rest of your day without thinking about that again? If you are, then you greater than Jesus, huh? Hallelujah, because Jesus thought some things. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Lord, let this cup pass. But after he came to himself, he said, Lord, forgive me. Not my will, but let your will be done. For this cause have I come. For this cause have I come. People of God, we're getting ready to celebrate and honor the fathers this Sunday. This is a Sunday that the nation has set aside, and they deem it Father's Day. And this is a day where we pay tribute to the fathers. You know, now we have some, I call them sperm donors. Y'all excuse me. I call them sperm donors. That means they have donated and contributed with their sperm. And because of their donation, a little innocent child was born. So am I going to celebrate them? Not so. I don't celebrate sperm donors. I celebrate those that are fathers indeed. Now, if you are a father, you have witnessed a female giving birth to one of your children, then stand up and be a man. Stand up and be a father. Stand up and be somebody that your children can be proud of. Like the father with the son. The father was proud of his son, even though he went out, even though he disrespected him and discounted him and asked for his inheritance and went out and made his father shame. He embraced him back. He embraced him back. And I know that might sound a little critical to some of you all, but I don't have that kind of patience. I have patience with souls, but some folks don't want to be saved. Some folks don't want to come in and do the right thing. I'm not wasting my time on people that's going to dishonor God and dishonor his word. I don't have that kind of time. Jesus is coming, and no man knows the day or the hour when he's coming. So invest your time into people that you know that they're sincere. Now listen to me plainly, and don't get this twisted. God is a merciful God, and we should show mercy to people. We should be loving. We should be kind. Give people an opportunity. Give them a chance. But don't let folks just continue to use you. The Bible says pray for those that despitefully use you. But it never told us that we got to go back and let these folks just continue to use. It's a difference when the man asked Jesus, say, how many times, not the man, the disciple, say, how many times, Lord, must we forgive our brothers? And Jesus says 70 times 7. That means you got to be forgiven. Forgive them. But you don't have to. Jesus ain't saying embrace them. He didn't say put them back into your bosom. Be like the man that had the snake. He bought a pet snake. And we all know that story. The snake was frozen. And he done got this snake, and this snake is his pet. God, hallelujah. And he put the pet, put the snake in his bosom while the snake was frozen. And when the snake thawed out, the snake bit him. And then when the snake bit him, he said, I nurtured you. I love you. I took care of you, and you bit me. And the snake, the monster, the snake said, well, didn't you know that I was a snake? Didn't you know that's my very nature? That's my nature. God told me when Adam and Eve sinned, he told me I would bruise your heel. So that means I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I bit you because I am a snake. That's what I'm saying to you all. We have to know those that labor among us. We have to be willing and loving and compassionate. This story have been told for centuries and centuries and centuries. We're living in the 21st century. The 21st century church. But we still have the mentality of hate. We still have a jealous spirit. We don't want to embrace one another and love one another like the Bible says. Jesus told his disciples, he said, a new commandment I leave you, that you love one another. People of God, it's time to forgive, it's time to forget, and it's time to restore. We can't make people love us. We can't make people embrace us. We can't make people take us back into their bosom. But we have to be the ones to forgive. We have to be the ones to forget. We have to be the ones to restore. Hallelujah. I thank God. I didn't know how this was going to play out today, but I heard the Lord saying, come back. Come back. And when you come back to me, I'm going to receive you. I'm going to make merry. I'm going to have all of my angels to rejoice. They're going to celebrate you because you've come back. You were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but I have revived you. Now you're alive. You're alive to do what? You're alive to tell somebody about Jesus. Do we really know Jesus? Do we really know what he wants from us? Do we really know what he's requiring of us? He wants us to forgive. He wants us to forget. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be able to embrace, be able to love, have compassion one for another. And in my closing, I want to close with this. And I always remember this scripture, Galatians. Oh, God, I can't even think right now. I lost my thoughts for a minute. Hallelujah. As we therefore, where's my scripture? I got two Bibles here. Woo, glory.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Galatians. Come on, come on. No, I'm in Galatians. Where is my Galatians? 2:20. Let me get this other Bible. Bear with me for a second. I'll just read it to you. As we dare for opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to the household of faith.
Yeah.
We have to have a special love for one another. So what does that mean, Sister Adrian? It means, hallelujah, I'm sorry, you're at Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This son belonged to a great household. And his father was rejoicing. His father was happy. That's just like Joseph's father. When Joseph's father thought he was dead all those many years, but God had positioned Joseph to be the governor of the land, the governor over Egypt. But God positioned him because he knew a famine was going to be in the land. And God had Joseph in a position where he was able to save his family during the famine, during the depression. Guess what? And Joseph was able to bless his father, and his father was able to see his son, whom he thought had been murdered by a wild beast. People of God, we don't know why God is setting us up. We don't know our destiny, but just know that you have a destiny in Christ Jesus. We all have a destiny to pursue. We all have a destiny to pursue. Hold on to your vision. Hold on to your dream. Don't let nothing and nobody deter you from what God has destined for you. Weeping, the Bible say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I wasn't feeling good yesterday, and I'm still not at the apex. I haven't reached that fullness, but I have a work to do. And that's why I have to call on Jesus. We have to call on him, even when we're destitute, even when we're down and depressed and oppressed and suppressed, all these different pressures in our body, in our everyday walk. We got to know that we can return. We got to know that we can go back to the altar. We got to know that we can still call on Jesus. We got to know that he's still going to bring us out. We got to know that he's still going to restore us. We got to know that he's going to forget what we've done. We got to know that he's going to forgive us. All is not lost. All is not lost. The son have returned. The daughter have returned. The husband have returned. The wife have returned. Give people another opportunity. Give them another chance. God has given us so many chances, Sister Ruby. If it was not for the Lord, if it had not been for the Lord, whom has been on our side, where would I be? Where would I be? Hallelujah. God knew that when Katrina came in 2005, he knew that I wouldn't be there. But I was there. But I believe he had me in a place. When Katrina came, I had a place where my brothers could come to, my nephew could come to, my mother could come to. Did I foresee that day? No. But as I'm sitting here now, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking my mother was this place for 3 years. This place for 3 years. So just imagine if I was estranged from my mother. Oh, hallelujah. If I was estranged from my mother, I wouldn't have been able to invite her in my house. If I was estranged from my brothers and my nephew, I wouldn't have been able to invite them to come go with me. People of God, it's time to let go. It's time for us to return. Return. It don't take much to ask somebody to forgive you, even if you don't think that you've done anything. Get your heart right with God. Jesus is coming. And he's not going to say what they did to you. He's going to say what you've done to them. He's going to judge us on what we're doing. Don't worry about what folks have done to you. God's going to get them. You just make sure your heart is right. You just make sure that you do it the right way. You make sure you're not angry as the son that stayed home. Oh, you know the most shy God. You make sure you get the anger out of your heart. Because God wouldn't bless the one that stayed home, even though he didn't go out and messed up. Hallelujah. He dishonored his father when he going to tell his father about embracing the lost son. God was angry with him when he did that, when he took that stand. Hallelujah. So we have to the lost coin and the lost son. Each one was rejoicing when the other was found. Each one came out rejoicing. Each one came out merry because then they found that which was lost. Find your way back to the Lord today. Find your way back to his throne. Find your way back to his presence. Find your way back to your secret closet. Get up with a mind. Pray. Study. Hallelujah. Fellowship. Give. Hallelujah. Forgive and forget. That's our message on the day. God bless you all. Back into your hands, Sister Ruby. Hey, Yadonabashaya. Hallelujah. Bless you.
Praise the Lord. That's been a word, a blessing. I'll just tell you, I'm going to open up the line. I think this is just. On a short 3-3-3-2-9-7.
Yes,
323.
Woman of God. Donna
Shaw.
Yes, Sister Donna. God bless you, woman of God. And this truly is a word, and I just thank the Lord that, you know, even though we may stray, the Lord will still receive us as his children. And I just thank God for the word of God that went forth, and it really blessed my soul.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Sister Shaw, Donna. We love you. And we praying for the situation even with you. You know, God gonna hold us responsible for what we do. And we praying for that situation with you and your family. And I know that God is gonna bring you out. You continue to show love. Hallelujah. When we are the ones that have the men. Sometimes the assignment that God gives us, we really don't embrace it as such. And you are the sister that all of your siblings look to. And you shared that with us, and I'm not going to go into no details on this line. But just know that God is honoring you.
Glory to God.
For the chance that you have taken, God is going to honor you, and he's going to fight your battle. Because when you're doing right, oh, God, God got to uphold you. God got to come to your rescue. He has to fight your battle. Hallelujah. Because the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. Remember that the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. And I know how it is to be estranged sometimes from people that you love. You know, their situation even with my sister being in prison, you know, family members and all that divided the family. You know, but I couldn't stop, and I don't have no bitterness in my heart. It was a bad situation, and my sister has to live it every day. 20 years in prison, she got to live with that. But the Lord gonna bring her out, hallelujah, and I couldn't get angry with anybody. I had to keep them up before the Lord in prayer, and I still had to treat them right. You know, I'm all shut up. Treat them right, hallelujah, because God knows everything. And never pray for the demise, the unfortunes of other people. Don't pray for that. No, just pray for them. Pray that God will bless them and God will keep them. And let the chip fall where they may. You just make sure your hands are clean. Ah, glory. Make sure your hands are clean. Hallelujah.
Thank you, woman of God. I needed that. I definitely needed that word because we've talked, and you know, and I needed that. Thank you so much, and God bless you. God bless you for that word.
Thank you, and God knew you was going to be on this line. See, God, nothing is hid from God. He know every caller coming on this line, and every message he sends to us, he know who's listening. Even those on the internet that's listening live, I can't see your face, but God know your face, and he know your name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless you, Sister
Donna.
We love you.
God bless you, woman of God. I love you guys, too.
Okay. We're going to, you know, I have to learn these again. We're going to area code 214-7831. Carl, are you there?
That's Dawn.
Dawn? Yeah, she has a couple of numbers. Dawn, are you there? Okay, then. I'm going to go on to Sister Albertine. Let me open up your line, Sister Albertine. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Evangelist Bernard. It's so good to hear you back and, you know, praying for you and you know, just hoping that you – I knew you were coming back, you know. You can't keep a good woman down, especially not a woman alive. The devil is a liar. But to hear your voice and that message was powerful. And briefly, I wanted to tell you, last week when I was dealing with my car situation and I was praying and so many people just came to me and giving me money and clients coming that I hadn't seen in years and God blessed me with the money to get my car back. And then I was praying and asking God, because he was dealing with me about certain friends. So I said, well, Lord, reveal it to me, you know, what you want me to do, and I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. So the Lord given me this dream. He showed me where I was with that person, and it was two jewelry boxes. And one of the jewelry boxes was empty, but the other jewelry box was full. When I tell you diamonds and rubies and big diamonds that you can just pour in your hand, the Lord was showing me how me and that person, I said, okay, we have to split this 50-50. So we was asking, whose box was this? Was this any older person? They left it. That ain't nobody's. You know, you guys can have it. That person is gone. So I says, all right, well, let's split, you know, what we found. So as we was going through the boxes, God was just revealing every drawer I was opening, it was bigger diamonds and jewelry and gold and big loose, you know, diamonds that you can just pour in your hand. And I was just like, wow. So the person that was next to me, she was taking them and putting them in her pocket. But I was saying, no, we have to split that. You know, we should split that. Be fair, we have to split that. And she was like, oh, yeah, we're going to split it. We're going to split it. But she was still trying to put the good stuff in her pocket. And she says, okay, well, do you want this? And it was like, not good. And I said, well, these are okay, but I want, you know, let's split everything. What about these? So she was still saying, okay, well, I'll split it with you. But then she was still putting stuff in her pocket. So she got up to leave. After she got up to leave, she says, well, I have to go now. So she got up and she ran away with what she put in her pocket. So then this man came and asked, he said, where did you get that jewelry from? So then I said, I got up, and then before, as he was talking to her, I had hands full of diamonds. It was like God was just pouring diamonds in my hand, and I said, well, Lord, whoever this is that it belongs to, I don't want to take it all. I will leave some for them just in case they come back for it. I don't want to take it all. So I left some there. So as I got up to leave, the man said, well, you go. You can go ahead and go. But he told the girl that was standing next to me, you stay. I want to talk to you. So as I was leaving, I was walking across the street, and my pockets felt like they were just so heavy and weighed down with diamonds, just diamonds and jewelry. And I was afraid, so I put my hands in my pocket because I thought somebody was going to see it. So I got to this bus stop, and as soon as I got to the bus stop, it was this man, and he was acting crazy, and he was like, well, you should go with me. You know, like he was trying to talk to me, and I was like, the Lord told me, pick up rocks and throw the rocks at him, and he'll leave you alone. So I started picking up these rocks and throwing these rocks at him, and he went across the street, and he was saying something. I was like, just go on, you know, just leave me alone. So it was all these people start coming to the bus stop, and the lady said, well, wouldn't it be nice if the bus came? I said, yeah, that would be right on time so I can get on the bus and get home. So the bus, as you look down the street, the bus was coming right to my direction, but the bus detoured. The bus went around this turn, went around that turn, and went around. But when he got to me, it was right on time. So then when the bus pulled up, it was like all these people behind me, but God put me in front of the bus. And he told me, he said, you get on the bus. So I got up on the bus, and as I got on that bus, it was all these homeless people sitting on the bus. And I asked the bus driver, when I looked over to him, he looked at me and all I felt was love and compassion, but I also felt a lot of sorrow in his heart. And I said, well, these people are not supposed to be on this bus. Why are they here? And he said, they're here because they have nowhere to go, so I had to help them. So I was like, all right, well, praise the Lord, then they should stay. And then I was thinking about all the diamonds I had in my pocket. So I said, well, let me get off this bus. And let me go run and take this and change this money. So earlier today when I was giving this testimony, I was telling one of my clients about it. And as I started speaking the word of God, God told me that was him. That was him. I said, Lord, who was that man on that bus? He said, that was me.
Ah.
That was me. That was me sitting on that bus, and that was me telling you to help my children, to help. This is what you're going to do for me. And it was such a testimony because he revealed so much to me in this dream about people and the things that he's blessing me with. And I just thank God for it. It was such a testimony. And then what you were talking about friends and how God blesses you and the things you need to do when God tells you to be obedient and do them, you have to do them. You have to do it. You have to be faithful and listen to God no matter what he tells you to do. And it may not make sense sometimes, but you just be obedient and trust God, and then he'll reveal it to you. He will reveal it to you. So it just summed up that dream. It just really made that dream tie in a little bit better and gave me understanding of what God was saying to me and where he's taking me at this time. So I thank you again, Bernard, for that message. It was powerful and right on time. And God bless you. And I'm glad to hear you back online and feeling better. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I tell you, God, we really just don't know what God has in store. We don't know. We don't even know what tomorrow is going to be. God has answers for all of our questions. We'll never have a question that can't be answered in this word. And that's why he said, tell us about the dream. And if it come to pass, it's of God. If not, then guess what? You tell it the way it was. That's amazing. Because as you were saying that, God had been dealing with me about some of, not everything that you said, but some of the things that you said just tying in with this story. The honorable son and the son that went out and did what he did. God has a work for us to do. And sometimes we don't know what that work really is. You know, that's why the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. There's many gifts in the Bible, and there's many gifts that God said gifts and callings are without repentance. So God gives gifts unto men without them even repenting. So we just need to really, if we really get down to business and really consult God, God will show us the area in which he wants us to really minister in. And we all have a ministry, believe that. Ministry is just not being behind the pulpit. You can have a ministry, a street ministry. You can have a phone ministry where you're just on the telephone calling people and thanking them for coming to church, thanking them for being a part of a committee or what have you. You are a department that you're over. God, there's many ministries and gifts in this body, and we just need to seek God for them. Amen. That was beautiful, and God ain't through with you. He's going to keep on revealing what his will is for your life, as Sister Ruby expounded on yesterday, knowing God's will for your life. God bless you all. Amen. Anybody else, Sister Ruby? Sister Ruby? Sister Ruby?
Hello?
Yes, Sister Ruby?
Yeah, I heard that somebody was knocking on the door. Sister Kimmy, 818.
Hey.
Praise the Lord.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hey, Madam Bernard. How you doing?
Did I pronounce your name right? What can you give
it
to me?
Is it Kimmy? Yes, ma'am. It's Kimmy.
God bless. Hey. I have your line open. Sorry about that.
Okay. Hi, Sister Ruby. Hi, Evangelist Bernard. How you doing?
God,
are you feeling better?
Yes, ma'am. I'm feeling much better. I thank God for y'all praying.
Amen. And I wanted to thank you. I wanted to come because yesterday when Sister Ruby was speaking on the line, and after her, you know, after the prayer, she asked if anyone had a word, you know, yesterday. When she asked me that, if you go back and listen to the message, I said, what did you just say? And she said, I was wondering if you, but that's not what I heard her say. What I heard her say, and I know it wasn't none but the Holy Spirit, is, Kimmy, I need for you to be careful. This is what I heard. But when she, when I asked her, what did she say, go back and listen to it, and she said, no, I was wondering if you had anything that you wanted to add to it or say, but that's not what I heard her say. So that's how much that God has been speaking to me. Where when I came into your ministry, and I told, and you know that I've talked to you, I was going dealing with so much as far as like so many dreams and stuff that I didn't understand. It was a lot of dark stuff, you know, dreams that you know, just a lot of snakes and you know, just a lot of things that you and I have talked about, and we prayed on it. And since then, I haven't had any. You know, God has been dealing with me for I think. The day before yesterday, I had the first one again. And when I think about that, and this one, it was another one. Sister Artine told me, she said, hand me a serpent is a serpent. You know, because I was like, well, this wasn't an ugly one, but she was like, a serpent is a serpent. And, you know, because I was, you know, I have the tendency to look at good and everything and try to find some good. And then just listening to Sister Ruby yesterday, and then when she came on that line and she said that to me, I realized how much my eye gate and ear gate is opening. I realized how much, you know, where before I was so confused about how God would speak to me, even through my dreams and everything, how much and how much clarity he's given me, and how much I've been more so leaning toward his direction and not my own, because I felt a lot of reasons I was in the bondage and a lot of things I've been in because I do based on what I feel is right, and I didn't pray, or if I prayed, I didn't wait. So,
All right.
So I'm grateful and I'm thankful to you and for your ministry, again. And, I can't thank you enough. I love you, and you've been a blessing to me. And, you know, it's always good to hear your voice. And again, I'll call and talk to you later about, you know, something else I have to talk to you about. But, again, I thank you for everything.
Amen, amen. That's what, and that's a blessing. That's a testimony right there.
Amen. I know.
Those things that were coming to you, you know, and you wasn't able really to rest properly and what have you got.
Amen.
And just like you said, when Sister Ruby asked you that question, you heard something else because the Holy Ghost was speaking something else. And it's something how you can hear one thing, but the Spirit of God is saying something else. And that's amazing because guess what? That happens. You can be in somebody's presence, and the person may not utter a word, but you hear them speaking.
Hey.
You can hear their thoughts, and they may
not even
be talking to you, but the Holy Ghost will have you to discern what their thoughts are.
Yes.
And you can hear that person, and you are standing right before them, and their mouth ain't moving, but the Holy Ghost is telling you what their thoughts are right at that moment.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, God is amazing.
Yes, it's great. I go back, and I had to go back and listen, and I was like, I knew, I heard her say that, but I was like, it caught me off guard because I thought she was getting ready to, like, prophesy to me when she said that, and when I asked her again, and she said, I was saying if you wanted to add something, I was like, you know, and I knew that wasn't but God speaking through her. You know, it was amazing. It was just, it was such a blessing. It's such a blessing because I know now what God is doing, and I know I can hear him better because I decide to, you know, I'm studying more in the Word. I joined a church. I was, you know, being obedient because before I wasn't. I was like, you know, had such a, you know, not good experience since I moved to California with churches. But, you know, I'm being obedient. And one thing Prophet David told me, he said, I want you to sit up under a minister, you know, because I think the minute you sit up under that minister, you're going to watch a change in your life. He told me this the other day, and you're going to watch God open some things up for you, and I think that's exactly what's happening. Just hearing that yesterday, because it was clear. I know what I heard. It was so clear. I'm grateful for that. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, God is going to continue to do great things for you. You can't hear this word like this every day, and then God don't come in and help you. You know, he don't help us. He just want us to get our minds right. When we get our minds right, then we're able to receive everything that God is opening up before us. And he said he'll do that. God will open up the floodgates of heaven. And that's what I'm looking for him to open up the floodgates of heaven. And the floodgates is going to open. And when they open, the rain is going to be on us, and I tell you, and that's everything that we have need of. God is going to supply all needs, and I just believe that.
And everything you have spoken, everything you've spoken in my life, everything you said to me has came to fruition. I mean, it's been amazing, and, you know, it's not always when we want to, but, you know, you see God's hand. You see it coming to light, and it's amazing, and that's just testimony to who you are and what God is doing in your life. So,
I bless him. Thank you.
Yeah.
You
all, I mean, just when you touched me on Sunday in church that day, I felt something just move through my spirit. And it was just so amazing. It was amazing. I knew it was you when I saw you before you knew it was me. I knew it was you. It was just amazing.
Amen. Well, we bless the Lord for you all. God's going to continue to do some great and mighty things. Amen.
I was trying to get Sister Dawn again. Sister Dawn, your line is open. Sister Dawn? Oh, okay, then. So that's everybody. And we just thank Jesus Christ for each and everyone on the broadcast today and all in the chat room, anything for praying for Evangelist Bernard. Your prayers work because she's up strong and moving, and the Lord has used her tremendously. And the word has came with power and anointing for each and every one of our hearts and souls and minds. So we just thank you for grabbing hold and praying for her yesterday in God's name. Thank you so much, each and every one of you. Evangelist Bernard, I turn it back over to you. You can ask.
Amen. Amen. Sister Ruby has been such a jewel. I tell you, I wasn't able to get up yesterday, and she went forth. And Sister Ruby has she has the word in her belly. And I'm asking the Lord to just open up.
I know. What are you doing with it?
All right, that's Dawn on the line with at our job.
Dawn.
You always find something when I'm here. I don't understand that. I'll get it. I'll take care of it.
Where's the line, Sister Ruby? You're fussing with Miss Netta.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Close the line. Amen. We just thank God for Sister Ruby going forward on yesterday, and I've been trying to get her to teach and stuff, and she has a vast number of scriptures in her belly. She knows this word, I tell you, and I just thank God for her being so gracious and laying in the switchboard. It's been a blessing. There's still a few things she's going to catch on to, but she's doing a wonderful job, and we thank God for her. And thank God for all of you all that's on the line. And I just want to pray a special prayer right now for Sister Albertine, Sister Cammy, Sister Donna, Sister Ruby, and Sister Dawn, and even those that we haven't seen on the line, and also for Poppy Davis. I've been praying for him. I've been talking with him, and some things was going on with him, and we just want to lift him up in prayer. So I want to pray before we dismiss today, and I'm asking God to just do some great and amazing things in this next week in our life. And even this Father's Day coming up, we're praying for all of the fathers. So, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just thank you for what our ears have heard on today. God, we ask you to bless every member, everyone that's on this radio broadcast today, those that are in the chat room, those that may be on the computer listening live, and those that go back into the archives. Lord God, we're standing on your word today. Lord God, we need some miracles to happen this week. God, we're asking you to overtake us. You said you would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we wouldn't have room enough to receive. Lord God, we're asking you to continue to rebuke the devourer for our sake, because the devourer will not come in and eat up, hallelujah, that which you have destined for us. God, we're asking you to bless our children. God, we're asking you to open up the windows of heaven, bless our finances. God, bless our vehicles, bless our children, let your blood cover them. In the name of Jesus, those of us that need homes, those of us that need vehicles, those of us that need, hallelujah, need debts to be paid. Lord God, we ask for you to cancel some debts this season. In the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah, we ask for you to open up doors, God. We ask for the floodgates, God, to be open. In the name of Jesus, God and women see us right now. Hallelujah. And every need that Sister Tammy and Sister Albertine have, God, meet that need in the name of Jesus. Give them a mind to witness, Lord God. Give them a mind to tell souls about your goodness. Hallelujah. Give them a mind, God, to tell them how you brought them out. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, and we ask you for even those people that they had to cast aside, even those folks they had to stop talking to, Lord God, let them be able to go back and witness to them. In the name of Jesus, remember Sister Donna, God. Hallelujah. Continue to intervene on her family's behalf. Remember her daughters and her sons and our grandchildren, God. Remember Sister Ruby. Remember our son-in-law and our grandson, God. Remember Dawn, God. Remember Jarvis, God. Oh, God, and all the fathers, God. We ask you to bless them in the name of Jesus where they can have a beautiful day, God. Remember Pastor Hamilton, God. Oh, God, on Provoked Fridays, God. He asking you the things that he's doing in his ward down in Houston, Texas, to continue to bless him, Lord God. Keep him, Lord God. Meet every need that he has. Remember Faithful, Lord, Sister Faithful, that drew all the graphics, God. Remember her in a special way, God. And all of those that we haven't saw or heard from, God, you know who they are, God. Remember, Lord Jesus. Remember Prophet Michael Davis, God. We ask you to touch him today, God. Hallelujah. Open up doors for him, God. Remember the citywide crusade, God. Hallelujah. We ask you, Lord God, to bring in funds, God. Send funds in, Lord God, that can fund this thing. Hallelujah. For souls to come in, God. Give us a mind to tell people about Jesus. Oh, remember Sister T, God. Overtake her, God. Meet every need that she has in the name of Jesus. Remember Prophet Theodore Glover. Remember Dr. Singleton. Remember Bishop Singleton, God. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord God. Oh, to keep us in the center of your will, God. Keep us in the center of your will, God. Make us to know, God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Continue, Lord God, to give us victory. Victory in every situation. Help us to walk victoriously, God. Help us not to murmur and complain. Help us to call those things that's not as though they are, God. We bind everything that's not like you. We come against depression today. We come against sickness today. Hallelujah. We come against confusion today. We come against envy. We come against jealousy. We come against backbiting in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we lifting up those things that are lovely. We lifting up those things that are pure. We lifting up those things that are all good report, God. Hallelujah. We're standing at the door, God. Keep us, Lord God, in the center of your will, Lord God. Oh, continue to make ways for us, God. Continue to open up doors, God, for us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, hallelujah, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Remember Evangelist Sharon Phillips today, God. Continue to strengthen her. Remember Sister Kim and the bereaved family today, God. Oh, remember the bereaved family of those that were victims in Santa Monica, God. Remember them, God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Jesus. We give you glory and we give you praise, God. Remember this radio broadcast. Continue to let us give a word to your people, God. Continue to let us, hallelujah, impact souls, hallelujah. Continue to let us empower souls to pursue their destiny in Christ Jesus. Remember my grandchildren, God. Remember, hallelujah, my great-grandchildren. Remember my son, God. Remember my sister Danielle, God. Remember them, hallelujah. Remember my niece and her husband, my siblings, God. Bless each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, God, we bless you. Hallelujah. Messiah, we give you praise, God, and I have a brother, oh, God. Yeah, God, I'm asking you to deal with him, Lord God. Deal with him, Lord God. Don't let him rest until he surrender. Oh, don't let him rest until he surrender, Lord God. Let your blood cover him wherever you go, God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We call it in souls. We call it in souls, God. Souls. We call it in laborers, God. Laborers for your vineyard, God. Laborers. For you say the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few, God. Help us to labor, God. Help us to tell somebody about your goodness. We love you, Jesus. We appreciate you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, God. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, God. We give you glory. Help us to remember. Help us to remember and not forget what you've done for us, God. You brought us a mighty long way, God. Oh, help us to be thankful, God. Help us to be thankful, God. Help us not to murmur, not to complain. Help us to be content. For the best is yet to come. We haven't seen our best days yet, God. Help us to stay humble, God. Yeah, God. Even Apostle Timothy Johnson, God, we bring him before you today, God. Oh, God, give him a mind, God. Give him a mind, God, a mind to get right. Oh, God, a mind to repent, God, a mind, hallelujah, to make every crooked path straight in the name of Jesus. Remember your leaders everywhere, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. Remember Evangelist Lucilla, God, continue to strengthen her in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, glory. God bless the Lord today. Feel my help come on. Oh, ain't nothing too hard for God, people of God. Keep on looking to the hills from whence coming to hell, because there's nothing too hard for our God. Hallelujah. He is the door. He is the way maker. He is the Prince of Peace. Oh, you know, he's everything that we need him to be. Hallelujah. He is the God husbandman. Oh, you know, the most such. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our mighty counselor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's a way out of no way. Hey, glory to God. I bless him today. I thank him. Oh, you're the normal such. I thank him for peace today. Oh, you're the normal such. Peace. Oh, you're the normal such. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise. Oh, you're the normal such. Remember Bishop Parson. Oh, you're the normal such. Remember Bishop Lewis. Remember Minister Billy Burns, God, hallelujah, citywide crusade. Hallelujah, you gave it to us, and it's going to come to pass. It's coming to pass, God, because anything you've spoken, it will come to pass. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Hallelujah, you all pray for this crusade.
Hallelujah.
I see souls coming in. I see them rejoicing. As that father rejoiced over that lost son, I see him rejoicing. I see a gathering of eagles. I see a gathering of souls. I see people crying at the altar. I see them laying prostrate. I see them asking, what must I do to be saved? Glory, Sister Ruby, I see him. I see him in the spirit. I see him coming in one by one. I see him hungry. I see him thirsting. Hallelujah. I see him saying, I'm surrendering all. Give it all to Jesus today. Give it all to him. Don't leave nothing. Don't take nothing back. Give it all to him. And once you give it to him, stand back and watch how he work it out.
Hallelujah.
The foundation of the Lord. I bless you today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can close us out, Sister Ruby. Hey, God, I see it. I see it. I see it.
Hallelujah. Everybody lines with
you. You got to see your blessing before it even comes.
Yeah.
See it coming, Sister Tammy. See it coming, Sister Albertine. See it, Sister Donna. See it, Sister. Sister Ruby. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you can envision it, hallelujah, it will be manifested. If you can see it, you got to see it. Hallelujah. Albertine saw the two boxes of jewelry. Hallelujah. Just see it, because that jewelry is yours. Hallelujah. You done opened up those boxes. Nobody going to be able to take nothing out. God going to give you everything that is destined for you.
Hey.
Revelation. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for being an awesome God and a loving God and a caring God. We thank you, Father God, for being a right on time God, a way maker God, a God that gives, a God that opens up the windows of floodgate and just allow it just to flow. I thank you, Father God, for being so awesome. I thank you, Father God, for making ways and blessing us and keeping us, Father God. And when it looks like it's no way, you make a way, Father God. And I thank you for your mercy, Father God. I thank you for your love and your kindness and your joy, Father God. I thank you for just giving us things that we don't deserve, Father God. I thank you. I thank you. You're so awesome and so loving and so caring and so giving, Father God. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for covering us with your blood. We thank you for sending your angels, Father God, to guard and protect our children and our loved ones, Father God. And although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil, for thou art with us. He shall be with us to protect us and guide us and cover us. And I thank the Lord God, because you are Lord God all by yourself. And I thank you, Father.
Amen.
I thank you for revealing your word. I thank you, Father, such an awesome God and a loving God. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for keeping me when I thought it was no way, and you made a way, Father God. You made a way. You show up right on time, Father God, right on time. You're right on time, God. You're right on time, God. And I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for this ministry, Father God. I thank you for blessing me. I thank you for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring us out blessings that our great, great, great grandchildren won't be able to receive. I thank you for making ways. I thank you for cathedrals. I thank you for homeless shelters, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for just blessings upon blessings and just making ways and worldwide ministry, Father God. And I thank you for healing, filling the heart, healing the soul, Father God, and creating and helping and healing the heart, Father God, because you are loving God. You are giving God and a caring and a sharing God. And I thank you for blessings that we don't deserve. We don't deserve it, Father, but I thank you for favor anyway. I thank you for blessings, Father God. I thank you for miracles. Miracles this week, Father God.
Thank you,
Father God, for allowing us to rise this morning, Father God, and breathing breath into our bodies and opening our eyes and allow us to be able to walk and talk, because there's so many who can't even walk outside. There's so many who can't even get a glass of water or a sandwich. You made it impossible for us, Father God. And I thank you just for healing. I thank you for revelation. I thank you for trials and tribulations, because without it, how do you reveal yourself to us, Father God? You allow us to see from the things we go through, and then you reveal yourself to us. You show us that I am the one that will bring you out. I am the one who loves you. Put me first, and I will give you, as far as the eye can see, I will bless you. And I thank you, Father God. There is nothing you cannot ask of God, nothing you cannot ask, and God will not give to you. He wants
Amen.
You to seek him
Amen.
First.
Amen.
Seek him first, and he will give you all.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.